All right, I ask you to turn your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. I'm going to read one verse for our text this morning, and I hope you listen very carefully to it. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, and verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this great opportunity we have to assemble ourselves here in this house of worship, to lift our voices in praise unto you in song, to listen to your word and have your Spirit teach us today about you. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that all of our sins and our shortcomings will be put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, today we pray that we'll have nothing in our heart that would prevent us from preaching the gospel. Give us the unction and the function of the Holy Spirit. Give our hearers this morning a blood-tipped ear of Calvary, that they might hear thy word this morning. And for all that's said and all that's done, let us exalt and lift up Jesus Christ and give him all the glory. For it was him who loved us and gave himself for us. His wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, tomorrow we celebrate what's known as Memorial Day. It's a day that's been chosen to observe and remember those who served to give us liberty in this nation. Modern day Memorial Day was began right down here in Columbus, Mississippi, for years and years before that, and it was never really official, but they were called Decoration Day. But two ladies down in Columbus, Mississippi started Memorial Day many years ago, and it's become a time when we look back and we remember. And we are thankful for those today who chose to serve and this morning sacrifice that you and I might even be able to sit here in this house of worship this morning. We find today that the Bible teaches us to remember. And memory is one of our greatest assets. We find that in the Gospel of Luke, when the rich man wanted to go back from Hades unto paradise, that Abraham said, "Son, remember. Look back over your life and see the decisions that you made and the choices that you made. And you're there because of those choices this morning." Jesus said to us this morning, we're to remember Lot's wife. That's a sermon in itself. Brother Peter said that he, in this tabernacle, he wanted to bring the remembrance of what Christ had done for us. And so this morning as we observe and we think today about Memorial Day and we remember those who served and those who sacrificed, those this morning who were willing to do whatever it was and whatever was necessary that you and I might enjoy the freedoms we enjoy in this nation. Never let us forget that today. Brother Ellis told me he saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a veteran. And, you know, this morning we are to remember our heroes and all of our heroes today. And everyone who served and sacrificed today is a hero to all of us today because they gave us liberty. But Paul in our text this morning talks about another kind of liberty. He talks here about spiritual liberty. I think sometimes we need to remember the spiritual liberty that you and I enjoy this morning. A songwriter wrote a song that entitled, "Where the Spirit Is." And it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For the Spirit of the Lord is, the captives are set free. The wounded are made whole, and there is rest for your soul. You know, as you think about that song today, and as you think about what the songwriter wrote, all of those things that it talks about today is because of the selfless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's because this morning of the cross of Calvary. We find today that everything we enjoy today as Christians, everything that we enjoy today as God's children, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never forget that. Sometimes I think we get so self-absorbed and we get into our own selves that we sometimes forget today the main reason that we're here today is because of Jesus Christ. And we're here to worship and exalt and lift up Him today. And I want to just take those lyrics that the songwriter wrote this morning, as Paul said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you know, the songwriter said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that the captives are set free. You know, this morning we've been set free. Amen. The chains have been broken. The bonds are all gone. The shackles are no more. We are set free this morning because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Right. We are set free today from sin. And you know, today the word sin is still a word that's in our Bibles. Many times we don't hear it anymore. Many times people want to take it out of the vocabulary of the Christian church. But I want to tell you this morning that there's still a word in the Bible. That word is called sin, and it's a decisive thing, and it's a divisive thing because it separates man from God. It puts enmity between man and God. It puts a chasm today between man and God, which no man can cross on his own. Our sins have separated us from a holy God today. And we were born this morning with an Adamic nature that we come into this world separated from God. We come into this world enemies of God. But thank God we've been set free from that because Jesus Christ was willing to go and die upon the cross of Calvary. Because He was willing to come this morning and give His life for us today. We've been set free from sin. I'm set free this morning from the penalty of sin. Now, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Every man, woman, boy, or girl, because of that Adamic nature and because of that first Adam today, comes into this world headed toward the grave, headed toward death. We're headed toward that place today that's inevitable today that we can find, and every individual is going there. Not only are we headed toward physical death, we're headed toward spiritual death. We depart this life, and this morning we find today that we are headed and destined to be separated from God. Just recently here in the state of Mississippi, there was a man who was scheduled to die by lethal injection for the murder of two Mississippi State students, Willie Manning. And he went to the Supreme Court, and he went to every court that he could find. And his lawyers were trying to get a stay, get a pardon, get a new trial, anything they could to save this man's life, to set him free from the penalty of death. They succeeded in getting a stay. Now, where it goes from there, you and I have no idea. And I'm not here to deal with the death penalty. I'm not here to deal today with politics. But I want you to understand this. Here was a man under the sentence of death, already moved into the death chamber, already a few feet away and a few hours away from ending his life, already just a short time away from never seeing another sunrise. And he was doing everything that he possibly could do, and people were doing everything they could possibly do to set him free from the penalty of his crime. You know, this morning you and I are on death row. We were on death row. If you're saved, you're not there anymore. But we were on death row. We were condemned this morning by the law of God. We were under the condemnation of God. Jesus said, I come not to condemn today, but he said we were condemned already. He didn't come today to condemn us. We were already under the condemnation of God. We were already about to face the wrath of God. We were destined to spend an eternity in hell. Another Bible word today that you don't hear a great deal about, but this morning I want you to understand what Jesus did for us. The fires and the torment of hell are real. We sometimes want to make it sound like it's a good place, but I want to tell you, hell is an awful, terrible, horrible place that was created for the devil and his angels. It's filled with torment and flame today, and I do not believe this morning that human words could ever describe adequately the horrors and the terrors of hell. But this morning, that's where we were headed. That's where we were destined to be, separated from God for all of an eternity. We are under the penalty of sin, the penalty of death. But thank God today there came a man by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Born of a virgin in a barn in Bethlehem, and he was willing to go to a cross on Calvary's hill and there to give his life today that you and I might escape this morning the penalty of sin today. We might escape the penalty of our sins. This morning you and I were destined to die. We could do everything that we wanted to do, but nothing today was going to bring about a reprieve. Nothing was going to bring about a pardon. We were headed this morning to the grave and then ultimately to hell and separated from God. But Paul said, now listen to what he said in Galatians chapter 5 as he wrote this church. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I want to tell you today, you ought to get up every morning, and when you look out your window, when you this morning arrive from your bed, say, thank you, Jesus, I've been set free. Amen. You see another sunrise, you ought to thank God for that today. Let me tell you this morning, when you lay your head down tonight, you don't know if you're going to see another sunrise. You don't know if you're going to draw another breath. You don't know when you sit down in a chair if you're ever going to get up again. You don't know today what another day, another week, another hour, another minute's going to bring. But if you've been set free by the liberty, by Jesus Christ, and given the liberty from the penalty of sin, you ought to be thankful to God that no matter what happens in the next minute, the next hour, the next day, or the next week, or the next month, or the next year, or the next decade, thank God you've been set free and say, thank you, Jesus. Remember what Jesus has done for you this morning. He took my place. He died for me. This morning I can say I'm free. I'm free today because Jesus was willing to die and give his life for mine. I've been set free from the power of sin. You see, when Jesus came and he gave me liberty, there was a change in my life. In the book of 2 Peter, Peter writes something that kind of describes us in great detail this morning. You listen to what Brother Peter said in 2 Peter. I'll get there in just a minute and get everything. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 3. He said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's how we used to be. Boy, that's what Peter said here. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked. And he begins to enumerate a horrible list of sins. But that's what you and I did. That's the way we used to live. Then he said in verse number 4, wherein they think it strange that you not run with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. But we don't do that anymore. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that such were some of you. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But I want you to understand today, God changed our lives. When he came in, the power of sin now had no meaning to us. We had something today because the greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You see, he changed my way of thinking. I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. Now think about that. A lot of folks get up and on Sunday morning and say, well, I've got to go to church. Hallelujah. We can get up on Sunday morning and say, we get to go to church. I'm different. I want to do right. I don't say that every time in every situation that we don't make mistakes and we don't fall and stumble a little bit along the way, but I want to do right. You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, and one of those passages that sometimes is very difficult to understand is, brother, Peter wrote about some of the writings of Paul, but as you begin to read that chapter, you begin to kind of feel that Paul knew what he was talking about. And he begins to talk about how that we've been delivered from the law. We've been delivered from that. And he says, for that which I do allow not, for that which I would, that I do I not what I hate, and that I do. If then I do that which I could not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it is no more thou that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present for me, for I delight in the law of the Lord, our God, right for the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of life, but with the flesh the law of God. Now what he's saying here is that, you know, I got something in me sometimes that the flesh wants to give in, but I got something now that helps me to keep going, that helps me this morning not to give in. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This morning there's a war going on in our members, but thank God we have somebody that's stronger than the devil living within us today. Amen. You see, we abhor evil and sin, and as Paul said, we want to avoid those things and get away from those things this morning. Adrian Rogers used to say, God didn't fix it so you couldn't sin. He just fixed it so you couldn't enjoy it anymore. Right. Now you think about that. I just don't enjoy it anymore. If I do it, it just don't bring any joy. You see, there's a difference today when the Holy Spirit of God and Christ has set me free from the power of sin. And I've told people before, I drink every can of beer I want to drink. I run around with every woman I want to run around with. I steal everything that I want to steal. I just don't want to do that anymore. That's right. There's a difference, isn't there? You see, because the Lord has moved in. The Lord today has set me free from the power of sin in my life. I've been set free from traditions. Peter said, we're not saved by vain traditions received from our fathers. You see, what I'm saying is I'm not kept by this morning by them. The Pharisees hated Jesus. There's no doubt about that today. In Mark chapter 7, you know, they begin to talk to him about how his disciples violated the traditions of the elders. But Paul, as he wrote in Colossians chapter 2, and you listen very carefully to what he says in Colossians chapter 2, And verse number 8, I believe it is. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, when folks say, well, you have to do this and you have to do that, and the only way you're going to remain saved, the only way you're going to heaven is if you do this, I'm always reminded I don't let nobody deceive me anymore. Why? I'm complete in him. He set me free. He gave me liberty today. I don't worry today about trying to keep the law. I don't worry about trying to follow some other man. I don't follow today yet. Worry about all of that. I've been set free in my mind today. I know Jesus Christ is keeping me today. I'm complete in him. You see, if you today are not set free from that today, you're living in a fearful environment. Why? You think about this morning. If you're having to do certain things to remain saved and you're never eternally secure in your salvation, now you think about this. You're driving up the road and you get in an argument with somebody on your cell phone. And you use some wrong language and you do some things that you shouldn't have done, and now you sin before God. About that time, you veer off a road, hit a bridge abutment and die, and you just lost your salvation. How sad that'd be today. I'd want to live in a room locked away so nobody could ever get to me. Why, it creates a fearful environment. But God has set us free from that, folks. Now listen to me. We're free today because of what Jesus did for us this morning. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the captives are set free. The wounded are made whole. I'm glad that he heals our wounds and our scars. The greatest thing that could happen to people today with wounds and scars is to meet Jesus. I love that song, He Touched Me. He touched me. He touched me. He did something for me. He changed my life, you see. There's a word that this morning should never be in the Christian's vocabulary, and that word is hate. You see, we should harbor no hate in our minds. That doesn't mean we condone or that we compromise our message, but we do not hate. This past week, the Boy Scouts of America took a vote, and they voted to allow gay people to become Boy Scouts. And I talked to a man Friday, and who was kind of up in the upper echelon of the Boy Scouts, and I said he said something, and he told me that all morning, and all day, that the National Boy Scout headquarters had been receiving phone calls from churches, because most or a lot of the churches today that Boy Scout troops are centered in that church. And he said they were telling them to come and get their stuff out of the church, that the church would no longer be affiliated with the Boy Scouts of America. Now, I'll assure you, now listen to me carefully, if we had a Boy Scout troop, we'd be calling them and tell them we'd have to get out. But by the same token, I can't hate the Boy Scouts and I can't hate the gays. I don't condone what they do. They're condemned in the Bible. It's an abomination before God. And we don't compromise our message and say that they're okay and that God is okay with that. We don't compromise that. But we still have to pray for them and love them and tell them about Jesus. That's what I'm saying to you today. You see, wounds today are healed, and we can't hate today. We can't this morning have those things festering in our lives, because when we begin to hate, you see, things happen. A lot of folks have been wounded in this life. Many people have been wounded through a divorce. Children of divorce are many times scarred and wounded beyond what you and I could ever imagine. Many times people get wounded in business, and some kind of business deal they made with a partner or some kind of other business transaction. Sometimes families get all crossed up and mad at each other, and they're wounded. I've seen mama not speak to daughter and daughter not speak to mama and vice versa and all of this other things and all the kind of messes that you've ever seen. Wounded over something that happened. Sometimes it's just deception and things that happen. I had a man when I was pastor of a church over in Alabama. He had one daughter and one son, and his daughter had married a very prominent man in the community. Very well known, very well respected. One day a man knocked on his daughter's door, and he was from the Alabama Bureau of Investigation. Her husband had hired a hitman to kill her. Of course, he'd messed up and hired an undercover police officer. Can you imagine that happening in your life? It happened. And it wounded a family. It wounded the lady's daddy so bad that it killed him. He died with hate and malice in his heart. I loved him. He was one of the best men I ever met. Loved him to death. But he let that malice, and he wouldn't let Jesus heal that wound. I said, Clovis, look, she's alive. God intervened. He took care of it. Just praise God that God could do that today. And you're going to have to move on and let Jesus heal that wound. Jesus today can heal your wounds. He can set you free from hate and malice and bitterness in your life. A lot of things have happened to us in life, folks. We need to be set free sometime. For the Spirit of the Lord is the wounded are made whole. For the Spirit of the Lord is, you find rest for your soul. Amen. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. The Lord wants us to enter his rest this morning. Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We can rest today in the assurance of salvation and the certification of our service and in the joy of our future. Rest today. You know, we don't always get rest bodily and physically. That's not what he's saying. I'm like Junior Hill. Junior Hill says, the Bible says, don't grow weary in the work. He said, I don't grow weary in the work, but he said, boy, sometimes I grow weary of the work. We do. We get weary and we get tired physically. But spiritually, we ought to be able to rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen. We don't have to carry that burden anymore. We can rest today. Isn't that great that you can just rest? What have you got to worry about? Paul said, hey, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Yeah. I'm a winner either way. You find rest for your soul today. This, as we observe Memorial Day, we certainly remember those heroes who served and sacrificed that we enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. But let us also remember the Savior that set us free today, the Savior that gave us the liberty that we have spiritually this morning. Let us never, 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 never forget what Jesus did for us on the cross this morning. Amen. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you might take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His wonderful holy name I pray. Amen.